Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with a sermon excerpt.
The Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Christ, and they could not have been written after his birth, life, death, and resurrection, because they were available widely in two languages on a few different continents for centuries before his birth. And prophecy itself uniquely corroborates the Bible as opposed to the other major religious books of the world. Islam cannot point to centuries of prophecies which predicted the coming of their claimed prophet Muhammad in some Quran before his birth. Islam doesn't have anything like that. Neither does Buddha nor the Hindu Veda. There are no millennia of prophecies to confirm the claims of the coming one. Yet the Bible, for example, prophesied that Israel, a nation in the world, would endure forever. As in 2 Chronicles 9:8, that God has loved Israel to establish them forever. And even though the Romans destroyed Israel and expelled the Jews 2,000 years ago, open your paper today, turn on National Public Radio this morning, and you're going to hear about Israel and Jerusalem and the fighting and the tension in the Middle East. Jeremiah 31:36 teaches that Israel shall never cease from being a nation before me forever. Even the capital city, Jerusalem, in Joel 3:20, we read that Judah, that is Israel, shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. You know how many ancient cities are no more? How many ancient cities are in the headlines every day of the year around the world? And the Bible predicts that Jerusalem would be the trouble spot for the whole world, even in the last days. Zechariah 12:2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples." And to this very day, millennia later, Jerusalem and the troubles in the Middle East are at the heart of the tension in the world. But of all the Bible's prophecies, the most important referred to Jesus Christ, and especially his death and resurrection. The book of Psalms predicts that the Messiah, descended from David, would be born when the peoples of the world were being registered. And 1,000 years later, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered a census so that all the nations, the peoples, would be registered. And that registry, that census, made official the record of Christ's birth in Bethlehem, of Jewish parents of the tribe of Judah descended from King David. His qualifications as the fulfillment of those prophecies and his lineage were certified by the Roman Empire. The prophecies that we read in 2 Samuel were confirmed by Augustus unwittingly. The prophet Micah recorded that the Messiah would be born in this tiny, insignificant village called Bethlehem. He could still read it today. It was written hundreds of years before Christ, translated into Greek 2 centuries before his birth. And today you go to Bethlehem and you find the Church of the Nativity.
Pastor Bob Enyart here of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to come on out and visit us this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. Check us out on the web at denverbiblechurch.com for directions, how to drive to the church, or call us at 303-463-1707. That's 463-1707. Now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Truth of the head, it gets beyond all the hits.
the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We'd like to talk during this program about the bomb that was exploded yesterday in Denver that damaged a pro-lifer's car, Joe Scott. In fact, the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post both had stories about it today. The Rocky Mountain News, large photograph, maybe a fourth of a page photo, gets the story pretty much right. The Denver Post makes it sound like, as we've joked for years, you know, if pro-aborts attack pro-lifers at a protest, the media will report pro-life protests turned violent today. If pro-aborts, pro-choicers throw a bomb at a pro-lifer at a protest, the media will report pro-life protest ends in bombing at abortion clinic, right? And they'll make, no matter what happens, if we get attacked, we get blamed. Because really, for the Denver Post, obviously, that's the only way they can possibly see it. And then also, so I want to read the Denver Post article and see if they, how accurately they got the story. But then also on the front cover of the American Family Association Journal, now, how many people does this go out to? A quarter of a million households? I'm just guessing. Half a million? A lot of people. There's a picture, a large color photo of a wedding of two men. And the photo happens to be of my cousin, my first cousin, Michael Galluccio, and his, whatever you'd call it, partner, John. And they since have adopted three children, including, well, they changed the law in New Jersey. My cousin did, fought to have the law changed, and he succeeded so that homosexuals could adopt children. So if you want to adopt a kid and it's hard because there's a long waiting list, just say that you're a homo and you'll be at the top of the list. You'll get a kid right away. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 in Denver, Colorado. Alan, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Alan. What's up, sir?
I read the article in the Denver Post.
You did?
About the bombing. I was just wanted to see if you read it.
Well, I'd like to know your thoughts on it. But how about we do this, Alan? Before that, the Rocky Mountain News article is really brief. It's only a couple sentences. So
okay.
Let me read the Rockies on the air. There's a large photo, shows Joe Scott and another pro-lifer, John Wycheck, and with Denver Police Sergeant R. Mahoney. So here's the article. Explosive leaves protesters jumpy, from the Rocky Mountain News. Joe Scott and John Wycheck speak with Denver police officer Sergeant R. Mahoney Tuesday morning after a homemade bomb exploded near Scott's car in front of the Planned Parenthood clinic at East 21st Avenue and Vine Street, 20th and Vine. It's 20th, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah,
not 21st. Okay, 20th and Vine in Denver. Scott and Wycheck were among several people protesting at the clinic when the explosive went off. It sounded like an M80 going off, Wycheck said. The device involved a caustic chemical in a water bottle. No one was injured in the incident. And it also shows a close-up of the remains of the water bottle. Okay, so that's the Rocky Mountain News story, and that's basically the correct story. It doesn't say that Ken and Joe Scott's van was damaged. You know, there are burn holes in the carpet and marks in the upholstery and the plastic inside the van. But other than that, it gets the story right. Now, how about the Denver Post? What's your observation from that, Alan?
The Denver Post didn't seem to get it right at all, and it was kind of biased or against the pro-lifers, and kind of almost insinuated that, well, it could have been a pro-lifer then.
Yeah, right. We've said this for years. If pro-lifers are at a protest and some pro-abort comes by and punches one in the face, you know, Channel 13, Fox News, or Channel 2, Warner Brothers, will lead with pro-life protests turned violent today. That's how they report the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a pro-abort, if a pro-choice person literally throws a bomb, a bomblet, an explosive device at pro-lifers, Channel 2 and Channel 13 last night in the Denver Post, pro-life protest turns violent with bombing at clinic. Story at 11.
Mm-hmm.
What's with that? Well, we know what's with it. They hate pro-lifers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they hate pro-lifers, and they want to blame us. You know, if a pro-lifer gets their arm broken, like has happened in some cases, gets assaulted, gets run into by a car and out of anger, they think we deserve it. If we get assaulted, the media, for the most part, thinks we deserve it, so they don't have any qualms about misreporting it and blaming us, blaming the victim. So I'm glad you called in about that. Anything else, Alan?
Should we go through the
The article?
Find out some of the article?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, here's the headline. Today's Denver Post: bottle explodes near Parenthood Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Parenthood Clinic. It's Barrenhood Clinic. They banned Parenthood. They kill babies there. I don't know why they'd call it a parenthood clinic. It's an abortion clinic. It's the antithesis of a parenthood clinic. But at any rate, no one injured, no suspects ID'd. By John Ingall, Denver Post staff writer. A water bottle packed with caustic chemicals exploded Tuesday near a Planned Parenthood clinic in northeast Denver. So right there, I guess it exploded practically right beneath a pro-lifer's van, which had the back of the van open. But anyway, okay, it was near a clinic, all right. No one was injured and no property was damaged.
There's the first thing that's wrong.
Yeah, except for the pro-lifer's van, which the caustic material or liquid even formed a puddle on the top of the van and was eating away the paint. No suspects have been identified. That's true. Alan, could you hang on through the break?
Yes.
All right. We will be right back with Alan and the Denver Post.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Hey, we've got a brand new catalog coming out with our Bob Inyart Live materials, and we really have a lot of stuff for people to study the Bible with us, to work out their understanding of different controversial issues, from the death penalty to evolution to abortion, environmentalism. Really interesting. Lawyers. We've got a video called The Trouble with Lawyers. It's actually pretty fun. Bob versus the publicans. And atheism. the ACLU. These are all different videos we've got. Bob debates predestination. Now, that's unusual. Most of our videos don't take on theological topics, but that one does. Bob debates predestination. And actually, that goes along with an album we have, a six-hour album called Predestination and Free Will, a recording of a seminar that I had the honor of presenting all around the country for a couple years. So predestination and free will, is there such a thing as right and wrong? Does God exist? You could check that out in our Get Out of the Matrix video. A Bible tour of Israel, God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. That's an interesting video. Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. So give us a call to order 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, we're going back to Alan. So, Alan, we found the first definite error. And they said there was no property damage. They could have talked to the police who did the investigation, who called Joe Scott over to show her the damage to her van. And they could have interviewed Joe Scott. They didn't even do that. Wow.
I wonder where they get their information, because Joe didn't say that Denver Post was over there.
Well, no, they talked to the police spokeswoman, Teresa Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, last night on the air, I was complaining that the papers might not even run the story, that if it was a pro-life extremist throwing an explosive device at an abortion clinic, it would be page one news.
Mm-hmm.
But this was some pro-choicer, obviously, somebody who hates pro-lifers throwing an explosive device at a pro-life protester. So it does make the news. You know, it's in section two of the Denver Post, on page two of section two. But the story is completely wrong. And in the Rocky Mountain News, it generated a photo with a caption. And so, okay, that's good. You know, last night on the air, I was trying to, not that the News and the Post listen to the show every night, but they have quite a few editors and writers. And I was trying to provoke them, embarrass them into running the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Bob and Yurt Live was a TV show, there was an editor at the Rocky Mountain News, and I wonder if I could use his name on the air. I'll just give his first name, Gary. And he said that Bob and Yurt Live, the TV show, was playing in the newsroom of the Rocky Mountain News pretty much on a nightly basis, along with the other local news shows. We were on at 10 o'clock back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they'd monitor the show. They try hard not to laugh at the jokes, you know. But anyway, let's go on with the story. Police cannot say whether the clinic at East 20th Ave and Vine Street was the target of the small explosive. And what's interesting about that is, why wouldn't they first bring up whether the pro-lifers were the target, since it was thrown at a pro-life vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Out where the pro-lifers have been protesting since 1967. Pro-lifers have been protesting there since 1967, every week, since for 36 years, and for over 10 years, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the pro-aborts know where to find us. There were a couple of protesters outside the clinic when the bottle exploded. Check this out. But investigators do not consider them suspects.
Yeah.
The no good, slimy John Ingold of the Denver Post. What a slimy writer. So he obviously knows about these protesters. Why can't he just hint that since one of their vehicles was damaged, perhaps they were the target? But he wants to imply that, you know, they probably threw the bomb at the clinic, but just had bad aim and hit their own vehicle.
Yeah, there's no part in this article that points to the pro-lifers
were the victims.
Hit or anything like that.
Right. The incident happened about 8:45 Tuesday morning. Someone tossed the bottle onto the street near the clinic's parking lot, said Denver police spokeswoman woman Teresa Garcia. So John Ingold of the Denver Post, he knew that it wasn't thrown. It didn't hit the building. It didn't hit the wall of the clinic. It didn't go into the parking lot of the clinic. It didn't even hit the sidewalk around the clinic, nor the grass around the sidewalk. But it hit out in the street where the pro-lifers park every day for 10 years. All right, let's see. The bottle was filled with chemicals that, when combined, turned to gas. The reaction filled the bottle with gas and caused it to explode. The explosion was fairly loud, Garcia said. She said no one saw who tossed the bottle into the street. Firefighters, hazardous materials crews, and arson investigators initially went to the scene. They soon called in the Denver Bomb Squad detectives to investigate. Vine Street was closed for about 3 hours while officers investigated and cleaned up the area, she said. The incident did not cause much. Now, this is the real propaganda part of the article at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have talked to Joe Scott, who was the target, her van was the target of this assault, this crime, this felony, they could have got the victim's perspective. The incident did not cause much disruption to the clinic, said Robbie Ruhak, senior vice president for internal and external affairs at Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. You know what's weird about that? If you're the senior vice president for internal and external, you don't really have to mention that because there's nothing other than internal and external. Just sort of drop that out of your title, Robbie. Okay, the clinic stayed open throughout the investigation and was never evacuated. Isn't that great? It didn't affect our employees and our patients, she said. The clinic had not received a bomb threat prior to the incident, Garcia said. See, they're presenting this as though pro-lifers have done this.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-lifers, you know, we didn't even give them the courtesy of a bomb threat. That's like when pro-lifers say, come on out to our meeting, you'll have a blast. And they take us to federal court saying we're threatening to bomb a clinic. And that happened. You remember that, Alan? To Joe Scheidler, one of the pro-life leaders in the country out of Chicago. He was telling pro-lifers, come on out, you'll have a blast. And they used that against him in federal court, saying he was trying to incite a bombing of clinics. What idiots. At any rate, okay, let's see here. All right, the clinic had not received a bomb threat prior to the incident, Garcia said. So the target for the explosive was unclear. Well, it would help to see what it was thrown at and what it damaged. I couldn't say, Garcia said, but the clinic takes up a large portion of that block.
Mm-hmm.
And so that obviously was just designed to obfuscate.
Oh, yeah. Someone who didn't know what Joe said would just jump to the conclusion that it was the clinic.
Yeah, that the pro-lifers were bombing the clinic
mm-hmm.
yet again. Any suspects in the incident could face a felony charge. Illegal use of an explosive device, Garcia said. All right. So that's it. That was the police spokeswoman. Well, Alan, thank you very much for calling our attention to that.
Okay.
I appreciate your call very much. All right. Please call again sometime. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, I have this picture, this video reel that runs in my mind from the early 90s. And I remember being at a pro-life rescue where we closed down the abortion mill by sitting and kneeling and praying in front of the doors of the clinic to save kids from being killed. And the pro-aborts, they always like to say that the clinic was open, even though nobody goes in or out for 4 hours, and then and it's closed for the day. They liked that back during the rescue years. They like to always say the clinic was open. We performed all abortions as scheduled. Even if there's 600 people in front of the clinic and nobody gets in or out for 8 hours, they say the clinic was open as scheduled. But at any rate, I remember one rescue where we have the doors shut, even the driveway shut, and the gates blocked. And so the TV cameras are there, and the pro-aborts are desperate to say that women are getting in to have their abortions. And they wanted to show a woman going in for an abortion. So there's a little wall around Planned Parenthood. It's about 4 feet high, 5 feet high in places maybe, a little wall. And so a couple of them get down, and one woman who was not a patient, she was a volunteer, she was a pro-abort. At any rate, they made believe she was a patient, and they cupped their hands under her feet. And you know how you could help somebody climb up a tree? They put their feet in your hands, and you stand up, and they stand up, and you climb up a tree. Well, they did that to her to help her climb over the wall. And they stood up, and she stood up, and they sort of launched her over the wall. And she went through the air and landed on the other side. And the video cameras caught it, and it looked a little raucous. And so they lead with Operation Rescue Became Violent Today. And they show this woman flying over through the air, landing on her back. You know, just a disaster. And, you know, if it was us, we wouldn't be throwing a patient into the abortion clinic. We wouldn't do that. We might consider throwing one out. We've never done that. But we certainly wouldn't throw one in. I even recall one rescue where someone asked his wife to toss him a lunch, and she threw his lunch to him in a brown paper bag, and they used that as violence at the rescue. I remember that happening once. Just bizarre. Hey, if you'd like to be involved in the pro-life events this weekend in Denver, especially in Boulder, Colorado, where Warren Hearn runs the Boulder Abortion Clinic, you can call. I'll give you this phone number. You can call the survivors, the Denver group of the survivors, at 303-994-2583. 303-994-2583. Okay. All right. Hey, by the way, the New York Times bestseller list just out. Ann Coulter's book, Treason, we interviewed Ann a few weeks ago, is at number 4 on the list. And Hillary Clinton's book, Living History, is number 6. So Ann has been outselling Hillary. She's outsold her in total numbers of books sold, and she's ahead of her on the list still. So I'm thrilled Ann Coulter's book is doing so well. I wish it would hit number 1. I really do, because it's such a great book to show how liberals really do hate America. And the reason they do is because they hate God. They hate God. And you find that out from the very beginning of the book. Before you even get to it in chapter 1, you find it out in the credits. You know, the thanks. I want to thank so-and-so and so-and-so. And Ann Coulter points out in her book that everybody she thanked in her last book went on a liberal hit list. And so in this book, she thanks everybody and then she thanks God. And they said, well, he's already on their list. Hello to people listening via the internet at kgov.com. How are you guys doing? Hey, we are really working to keep KGov on the air for another year. Last September, we raised the money for the whole year. And we are going to work toward that again this starting in a couple days and toward raising about $6,000 for KGov to stay on the air. So I want to let you know about it, and we could really use your help if you tune in via the web. Bob Enyard here with a live commercial break. Welcome to this spot where, hey, we need your help. We need your help to stay on the air in Denver at KLTT AM 670. And I'd like to tell you about some of our materials. Of course, some people now and then make donations to Bob Enyard Live. And I just want to let you know, well, thank you. And you could do that on the web, by the way. But it's not tax deductible. Because we say things on the air like, for example, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. And so, the IRS would take a fit if donations to this show were tax deductible. So if you donate to the show, you really mean it. And you're not trying to get a tax deduction. You can't. Of course, if you do want to get a deduction for a contribution to help the Bible message that we put out continue to be spread, well, then you could make a donation to Denver Bible Church. You could do that. And you could call up and do that, 1-888-8-NYART. Here at the radio show, we'd be happy to take that information for the church. Or you can go online at kgov.com and make a donation either to Bob Enyard Live or Denver Bible Church, or call us, 888-8-NYART. one 800 8 NYART, that's our call-in line. Now, we wanted to find out, before I get to the AFA Journal, the front page color photo of my first cousin, Michael Galluccio, getting married to his whatever, I can't even say it. And this was in 1998 at the Episcopal Church in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Now, they've been together for almost 20 years. And so anyway, I guess every time some church says, we'll marry homosexuals, then the same batch of homosexuals go all over the country and get remarried all the time. So I don't know if that's what happened with them. But anyway, they're on the cover of today's issue of the AFA. But I wanted to get to Joe Scott to find out. So, Joe, we got the story right with the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News?
Yeah, you sure did.
All right.
Not anything we didn't expect, though.
No, right. We expected. It's amazing that the Rocky Mountain News got it as accurately as they did.
Right.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
But I called in to tell you, I was listening to what you had to say about the odd things that came up in the paper in the past, and yeah. I actually was on the front page above the fold, almost the whole half of the paper, a picture, I think it was the whole half of the paper.
Which paper?
It was in Cincinnati.
All right.
It was the main paper in Cincinnati. I don't remember. In fact, I was just looking for it. I think it's up in the mountains.
The Cincinnati Post.
Yeah.
I guess.
Something like that. And there's a picture of me going into an abortion clinic for an abortion.
Oh.
And they knew it was who I was after the ruse was over. I was a pro-life plant, and I was posing as someone that was going into an abortion clinic to hold the doors open so there could be a rescue.
In other words, now let's explain that to the audience. Back some years ago, rescues were extremely common, even frequent in this country.
Before FACE.
Yeah, before the Federal Access to Clinic Entrances Law, which makes it a federal
felony,
and you're going to go to jail for years and be fined tens of thousands of dollars.
That's right.
So at any rate, now rescue doesn't happen virtually in this country.
Right.
And so at any rate, back then, we would have these rescues. Some rescues were outdoors where Christians would sit at the doors of the abortion clinic, kneel, pray, worship, and not move so that no one could get in or out to kill a baby that day. And many, many kids were saved through rescues. Some of the rescues, the pro-lifers went inside the clinic and would stage a protest, a rescue, actually, not a protest, inside the clinic. And those were even more difficult and were even more certain to close down the clinic for the day.
That's right.
And, for example, pro-lifers would chain themselves together inside the abortion clinics. And the police would have to come and figure out how to get them unattached and all that.
Right.
So what did you do? You went into a clinic.
Well, what I did was pose as someone that was going in for an abortion. And I was actually taking a girl in for an abortion. So of course, all the pro-aborts surrounded me and were protecting me.
So you and another pro-lifer called up and set an appointment.
Right.
How long before the rescue did you set the appointment?
About a week.
A week before.
Right.
And so you arrive. There's a rescue going on.
Right.
The pro-aborts help you guys into the clinic.
Well, actually, they helped us to the door of the clinic, and then the police said, this clinic is closed. You're not opening it today.
Oh, really?
So they actually hid us out in a business complex until they thought that the clinic would open later on in the day. Hmm. That was an interesting story in itself.
Okay,
all the businessmen had to say.
So you were in this apartment for a few hours?
In this business complex for a few hours,
all right.
But at the end of the day, I ended up sitting in front of the clinic because they weren't going to open it, and we prayed, and I prayed with the rest of the rescuers. And so they knew exactly who I was. But regardless, they put my picture and the picture of this other woman that was with me on the front page of the Cincinnati newspaper, saying that we were trying to get into the clinic and these horrible pro-life protesters tried to stop us.
Oh. So they knew that you were pro-lifers, but they needed a good photo.
Right.
Of people, women who could look like victims.
Right.
That is a trip.
And here's the newspaper yelling, don't put pictures of, you know, protect their privacy, don't put pictures of women who are going into the abortion clinic the newspaper, yet they did it.
Yeah, could you imagine that that some woman going for an abortion, what she really wants is her picture on page one of the newspaper?
Right. I just thought that was interesting because they knew exactly who I was, and they printed it under false pretenses regardless.
Well, let me tell you, let me give you another example. We had a pro-life protest at the Holiday Inn, is it? Yeah. On I-70 heading out east, right near 225, I think it is. And Planned Parenthood was having an event there,
right?
A weekend conference of all their Rocky Mountain region employees. So we had a protest there, and the reporter came out for, I think it was the Denver Post, and we had everyone, like we often do, sign your name and phone number so we could all stay in contact and let people know follow-up of the protest. And we had the list of everyone there, and the article ran saying, as with most pro-life events, it was mostly men. And we had the list, and it was 70% women.
Typical, Bob.
At the protest. It's so funny. But as though, you know, they're such sexist, as though if it were men, somehow that would make it invalid.
Right.
And when a woman calls up and says, Bob, you have no right to talk about abortion, which is just an inane statement.
I never have understood that.
No, but you know, when homosexual groups come out pro-choice, they don't say to them, you have no right to talk about abortion because you're men.
You're men. Yeah, well, that would be politically incorrect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I always say to them, I say, well, what am I saying that 10,000 women before me have not already said?
Right.
And of course, you know, they start to drool. And then the gray puddle around their feet is where their open mind, their brains have fallen out because they're so open-minded.
But, Bob, you have to remember, they've only dealt on an intellectual basis, if you can call it that, with the probe orb. When they actually reach someone who has an intelligent response, they're totally at a loss.
Yeah, they don't know what to say, typically.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Joe, you know that protest we did at the Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
Let me just remind some of our listeners who probably don't know anything about that. We found out, we used to get information from the health department, from Planned Parenthood, inside Planned Parenthood, about their business.
Right.
And so we found out 6 months before they were going to have this weekend retreat conference we found out about it 6 months early. So we called the Holiday Inn and said, we're calling to reserve a room for the Planned Parenthood conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us a room right smack dab in the middle of all the Planned Parenthood employees.
That's terrific, Bob.
Yeah, and there, Joe, this is so funny. That hotel has an inside courtyard, uh-huh. And the rooms have windows to the inside. We're on the first floor, right in the middle of the courtyard, right behind their podium, with all their seating and all, maybe 80, 100 people or so.
Uh-huh.
And we put in our window the huge pro-life signs we have of the Board of Children.
Right behind their podium?
Right behind their podium.
Terrific.
During their meeting.
That's great. They hate it.
Yeah. And
they hate it.
It was a trip, but it was good to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever they're killing kids, Christians should be fighting against it.
No peace while they're doing it.
Yeah, that's right. No child killing with tranquility.
Right.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, talk to you later.
God bless you. Joe Scott of Ken and Joe Scott fame. Okay, now what do we have? All right, now the American Family Association Journal. That's Don Weilman's organization. Okay, pro-family groups set Marriage Protection Week for October 12th. October 12th through the 18th, Marriage Protection Week. And the photo is of two men holding hands getting married in front of an Episcopal priest. And the one is my cousin, Michael Galluccio. He's my first cousin. And the other is his partner. And, all right, let me read it here. John Galluccio left and Michael Galluccio exchanged wedding vows at the Episcopal Church of the Atonement in Fairlawn, New Jersey in 1998. The Reverend Kevin Coffey Center performed the, quote, Holy Union, unquote. The Episcopal Church, which has endured heated debate over the subject of homosexuality for years, consecrated a practicing homosexual man as bishop during its annual convention in August. And now the fight is on for homosexual marriages. One 800 8 NYART. That's the call in line and the order line. 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. If you like Bible study, then come on out to Denver Bible Church if you can make it. If you can't make it, Sunday mornings or Sunday nights. Now, the Sunday night for Labor Day, we're taking off, just to let you know. No Bible study Labor Day Sunday night. But if you can't make it in person, well, check out our subscriptions, our monthly Bible study album. Once a month, right about the middle of the month, we will mail to you a Bible study album, and we start out, unless you ask for something different, we'll start you out with an overview of the whole Bible called the plot of the Bible. And you get Genesis and creation, the fall, the flood, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, the story of Joseph, the law of Moses, the Exodus story, the Exodus code. And you go through different books of the Old Testament like Ruth and 1 Samuel about Saul and King David and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Jonah, Nahum, Nehemiah. Really fun. It's just so much fun to study the Bible. And then you get a couple Bible study albums like Nicer Than God and Predestination and Free Will, details galore about every single miracle in the Bible. And then, and not then, they skip back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament, but you'll get the Gospel of John, the Book of Romans. That's just a classic. To study the Book of Romans, if you're a Christian, you'll just love the Bible studies. Just love them. And, of course, we have a money-back guarantee. If you're not a Christian, call us, write us. We'll send you a Mount Moriah video for free and try to make you a Christian. But you could subscribe to get an album once a month for $34.95 a month, or call us or go online and try just one. One 800 8 NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. All right, so that's on the cover of the AFA Journal, color picture, my first cousin, going out to, I don't know, 250,000 families and getting married as a homosexual. And so the AFA is saying, call, write, or email your U.S. representative and your two senators and urge them to support the federal marriage amendment, which is great, which would write into the Constitution the one man, one woman definition of marriage. That's great. Also, ask your pastor to join thousands of other pastors and preach about marriage on October 12th. I'll have to do that. I am the pastor. October 12th. Let me check my schedule. I'm sure I could do that. October 12th, preach about marriage. That's a good idea. You could sign a petition in support of marriage that will be presented to Congress and the president. You go on the web to nogaymarriage.com. That just strikes my funny bone for some reason. Nogaymarriage.com. Okay. Yeah, I'm all for that. Okay. So this is, it's just moving steadily, and we are decriminalizing all forms of immorality, and those who stand up for purity, for morality, for justice, for truth, those people are the ones who will not be tolerated. The tolerance is just the new intolerance. Tolerance is just the new intolerance. Tolerance is just the new intolerance. It used to be society did not tolerate adulterers and pornographers and perverts, homosexuals. Now, society tolerates all those but will not tolerate a Christian. Well, a Christian who denies Jesus Christ rose from the dead, those kind of Christians are fine. But a Christian who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and morality and purity, society does not tolerate Christians who teach that young men should respect young women. No, just look at MTV. Just look at what passes on primetime television. And in the movies, where guys treat women as just filth. And it's funny. And that's what passes. And the Christian virtues of teaching men to treat women with dignity and respect, if you try to advocate that publicly, you will be mocked as a fool. And you will not be tolerated. So tolerance is just the new intolerance. For example, at Walgreens, you know, Walgreens is probably the largest developer of film, one-hour photo developing in the country that offers the service for pornography. for porn, for just the most vile, despicable acts. And so one Christian was working at Walgreens and told, all right, now you're in the photo development department, and you're going to have to develop photos not only of nudity, but of all types of sex and obscenity and bestiality and every kind of filthy perversion imaginable. And so this employee, this is in Deerfield, Illinois, the employee said, I'm not going to develop these photos. This is pornography. This is sexual harassment. You can't force me to do this. I'm not going to do it. So Walgreens transferred him to another department, and then 2 weeks ago fired him. 2 weeks later, fired him. And now this employee had received an award for being a model employee. And they didn't fire him immediately because it would have been obvious that Walgreens was attempting to sexually harass their employees. You can't force employees to watch pornography, look at pornography, handle pornography. It's sexual harassment. And so they just transferred him for 2 weeks and then fired him, as though that ploy would cover it up. So Walgreens apparently is the nation's largest retailer to develop porn. And other stores like Walmart, for example, Albertsons, they do not require employees to develop photos containing nudity. And most policies require the employees to return the negatives to the customer and refuse to print the pictures. So Walgreens is the place to bring your bestiality. Right? Why don't they put those ads out? You know, there are ads about perfect, the town of perfect. Everything is wonderful. If everything was perfect, you wouldn't need Walgreens. But you would need Walgreens if you're into animals and porn, then you'll always need Walgreens. So that, I guess that's the image that Walgreens is looking for. And they're getting it, at least through the AFA Journal. So that's good. A lot of people finding out about Walgreens. Let's see, what else now? Oh, this is devastating. Websites teaching people how to commit suicide. And so there's an increasing number of online suicides where people kill themselves while they're online and leave their computer screens and printouts at the websites that gave them the instructions on how to do it. A 21-year-old girl, Julie Vitetto, put a dog leash around her neck and hanged herself. And her computer nearby displayed a website with instructions for how to hang yourself with a dog leash. Another woman committed suicide. By the way, this comes from Newsweek. Another woman committed suicide with an overdose of gas from two helium tanks. And near her dead body was a printout from the Church of Euthanasia's website titled How to Kill Yourself, with details on how to commit suicide using helium. So thankfully, there are some prosecutors who are attempting to prosecute such sites because assisted suicide is against the law, no matter what form of the assistance. All right, let's go to Utah. No, I'm sorry, to South Bend, Indiana. Joel, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Joel.
Hey, I didn't know if you heard in the news. I heard it today that there's a Utah couple that has a 12 or 14-year-old son that has cancer.
Yeah.
And he has a 5% chance of survival without treatment.
Yeah.
And a 73% chance of survival with aggressive chemotherapy.
Right.
That will result in stunted growth and sterility and have all kinds of other side effects.
Right.
And Utah has threatened to step in and charge the parents with kidnapping if they take their son elsewhere for alternative forms of treatment.
Right. Now, that You know, General, you know the kid who was just killed by a wacko church, was trying to exorcise a demon out of a kid who was autistic?
And yeah, I did read something about that. Actually, I read an article on that on Theology Online, I think.
Yeah, okay. And they wrapped him up in sheets and were, you know, they were forcing him to stand still. Basically, they strangled him or suffocated him to death. And
right.
The minister has been charged with homicide, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if your child is bleeding, injured, dying, and you withhold care, just basic care, because you're hoping for a miracle, I think you should be charged with negligence if your child dies. On the other hand, the extremism of the government, because, you know, people in a democratic government often are control freaks. They want to control other people. And so if the government is going to force people to endure treatment that's not necessarily effective, that's a whole different matter. And
well, right. And you know, they're not refusing him treatment. They're just saying they would like to seek some alternative forms to see if there's anything other than this aggressive form of chemotherapy. My whole point is, you know, since when is the government so concerned about children when, okay, if they don't treat him, he has a 5% chance of survival, but there's a 100% chance that a baby dies if you stick a suction hose in its mother's womb and rip off its arms and legs.
Right, abortion, 100% death. Actually, there have been a few kids that survived their abortions.
Few and far between
That's right. In fact, we interviewed one young lady on the show years ago who survived her abortion. What was her name? Jenna? It'll come to me, maybe. But at any rate, you've got a good point. And you know what? When you advocate the killing of children, then pro-aborts often will look for, you know, ways to fight for some child, even if it's wrong or immoral, just to soothe their guilty feelings. And I don't know that the right. people involved with this are pro-aborts, but our government certainly doesn't have the wisdom you need to govern justly. That's for sure.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bob, before I go, I just wanted to thank you for your ministry, and my wife and I just got some of your materials in the mail last week.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, the plot, and we're just finishing up going through the plot, and we've got some of your audio albums. And
now,
wait.
By going through the plot, you mean the plot audio tape album?
No, we have the plot manuscript.
You've read through that in a week?
No.
Oh.
We're almost through it.
Okay, because that's quite a challenge.
You can't put it down once you pick it up.
Oh, that's really kind of you.
It's almost addicting, but I tell you, the neatest thing is that now that we're starting to, you know, we're understanding the Bible.
Right.
It's like our studying the Bible has become our funnest and favorite thing to do together.
But Joel, am I paying you to say this?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But we can't afford it. Joel, so many people, hundreds of people have told us this, that once you understand an overview of the whole Bible, it becomes thrilling to read and study the Bible and not the drudgery that it was before.
I know. The only reason I didn't jump up and down on my kitchen table is because I would have hit my head.
Yeah. Hey, Joel, God bless you. Thank you. What's your wife's name?
Sherry.
So Joel and Sherry in South Bend. Thanks, Joel. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.